Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Now get your agenda in order. Figure out if meeting him in the morning is more conducive or meeting him in the evening. It might be better for you in the evening. After you've fed the kids, washed them up, put them to bed, after you've gotten with your home from work, and now it's just you and the Lord. The house is quiet. You don't feed people. You don't clean up the kitchen. All of that is done. Yeah, you're tired. You have the whole day on you. But God is saying, how bad do you want me? Or as our old lead pastor Andrew used to say, how deep is your seat? He said, I know you're tall, but your investment in prayer is going to help you. And he'll work the same. If you meet him at 11 o'clock in the evening, if you meet him at midnight, that's a whole other sermon, because there's also a breakthrough around midnight when you meet him around midnight. At the
Amen.
But that's another thing. I'll leave that for lead pastor Andrew to teach on that. But it's a supernatural shift that happens when you pray throughout the night. But I'll talk about that another day. But that might be what's best for you, to meet the Lord at 10:30, 11 o'clock, right before you go to bed. Let me tell you something. You'll sleep better.
Amen.
You right before you go to bed, you'll sleep like a baby. A baby that just got washed and a diaper change with baby powder on it. And ooh-wee.
Full stomach.
Man.
Yes, I know Lord. What I'm talking about. And guess what? You might even open, because when you pray, you open up a portal. And you open up direct communication from the heavens. So if you fool around and mess with God before you go to sleep, my God, that portal's still open. You open yourself up for divine visitations while you're sleeping, because that is the still charged atmosphere. It don't just go shrink and close up and now the heavens don't understand you or know where you're at. No, that open portal that you just created is still flowing above you. It is still open up to your household. It is still a charged atmosphere. There's still activity, even long after you say amen, there's still activity going on in your atmosphere. And if you go to bed immediately after that, you can enter into a divine visitation. He may even take you to heaven. He may show you some things that happened in a biblical time. He may show you some. The Bible says, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. In Jeremiah 33:3, he may call, he may come and visit you and show you things that you don't know about yourself, about the Word of God. He'll show you revelation. You just don't know what you're preparing and setting yourself up for. But God is saying, you're not in your position right now to even reap the benefits of that relationship. Number three, believe the Lord hears your prayers. This is an easy one. We teach this all the time. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But you got to believe it now. For those of you all that want to step your prayer life up, for those of you all that want to get rid of your complaining life and even enter into a prayer life, this might be your first time actually having a prayer life. You say you've been saved 10 years, but it's been 10 years of a complaining life, not a prayer life. So congratulations on entering into a real prayer life with God. He said now your faith is going to be challenged. But he said you got to know that I hear you. He said, believe the Lord hears your prayer. You can be confident that God listens to us, because he never turns a deaf ear to one of his praying children. The Bible tells us, and I quote this scripture often, his eyes are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. That's in Psalms. The Bible lets us know that he's always watching us. His ears are always open to us. If you want to enter into a prayer life, see people who talk to me and they say, I pray, but I don't know if God hears me, then you don't have a relationship. You can't have a relationship. There's no relationship if you have doubt. That lets me know you don't know who you're serving. You don't even know who God is. You are telling me that you don't believe God's word. Because God strictly said it in his word that his eyes are upon the righteous, his ears are open unto the cry, unto our cry. So that means if you're praying unto the Lord and you're saying, I don't know if he heard me, you're calling God a liar.
My God. Yes, you are.
That's the quickest way for me to get off the phone with you. Because I'm not going to listen to your doubting ways, and you know better. Now, if you're a baby, I'll take the time to break it down. I always got a lot more patience for the babies in Christ. So if you know better, and you just want to whine and complain, and you're just wandering in the wilderness, I don't have time for that. Because I'm about people who are really going to take God at his word, and going to have their faith outstretched and know that when they have prayed, God has heard them. Now you wait on the manifestation and you praise him while you're waiting on the manifestation.
Amen.
Amen.
You got to take the word of God for yourself and believe it, knowing that God hears your prayers. Also
Amen.
In your prayer time, because it's not all about you. In your prayer time, God may even show you flashes of people's faces. He may even bring up certain names while you're praying. You can also pray for others. Sometimes God gives us a burden to intercede for someone else. Although you may not be able to help that individual, they may need money, they may need a place to stay. I mean, it might be out of your reach for your means, your resources. But guess what? The Bible says the prayers of the righteous avail much. We quote that scripture, but do you know what it means? It means the prayers of the righteous help out greatly. Your prayer can help out in their situation. So if God is bringing before you some people, don't just keep it all in the family. You only pray for everybody that's under your roof. If God is showing you Africa, if God is showing you some orphans, if God is showing you your neighbor down the street, if God is showing you me, you better pray. And you just, even if you don't meet, even if you don't know the situation at hand, even if you don't know what exactly is going on, you say, Lord, you know. But you can pray peace on our life. You can pray favor on our life. You can also bind up the hindering spirit. You can do different generic and general prayers like that. And God will honor your obedience. You know why? Because it's not all about you. So God sometimes will drop other people in your spirit while you're praying to test and see how selfish you are. Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You didn't know that you could be selfish in your prayer. Well, let me encourage you on today. Yes, you can. Yes. God will test you in that because he knows, of course, you're going through things. He knows, of course, your children need prayer. He knows your marriage is in a shambles. But God is saying, can you stretch beyond the four walls of your home and pray and intercede on somebody else? You want to know why? Let me enlighten you. Because if you can stretch beyond the four walls of your home and pray for other people down the street, in another city, in another state, hey, even beyond the walls or the territories of the United States into other countries, he's saying that I can trust you. This is the beginning of him trusting you with a ministry. Because what is ministry? Ministry is all about being selfless and ministering unto other people's needs, not just yours. Some of us, we have a burning ministry on the inside of us, but because we never take the time to pray for somebody the right way, he's saying, I don't know if I can even trust you with another soul because you're so selfish, you'll never hear what their burden went. You'll always want to talk about your issues. You ever met somebody like that, people of God? You want to talk to them about what's going on with you. And by the time the conversation finishes, it's all about them, and they telling you what's going on in their life. You ever met somebody like that?
Yeah.
That's sad. Every time you call and you really wanted to just go ahead and share your story, you ended up ministering to them because it's all about them. And I'm telling you, you cannot be called into God's business being selfish. So God will test you in your prayers. I'm giving you heads up. I'm giving you knowledge on today. I'm giving you strategy on today. I'm giving you nuggets on today. I am setting you up to have a successful prayer life.
Amen.
Number four, pray for others. Number five, trust in God's power. This is where reading his word comes into handy. Because I talked about last year how you got to be anchored in the scriptures. Sometimes in your prayer time, you got to read the Bible unto the Lord. Keep him in the remembrance of his word. Lord, you said this in your word. You promised this in your word. And I loved it. Because I'm telling you, he will not put nothing above his word. If he promised you in the word of God he'll do it, he'll stop everything to make sure his word is honored. So this is how you know God has power, because you trust that he's going to honor his word. That's why his word has so much power. He said even if you have the faith of a mustard seed, he said your faith can move a mountain. You can move a mountain in your prayers if your faith is even as small as a mustard seed. And most of us on here, we got a seed the size of a basketball probably. So we can move whole regions. We can shake whole nations. But we got to stay faithful in that. When you're in prayer, above all things, you got to make sure that you pray for direction. Pray for direction. And this is last. This is last, but important. you got to pray for direction, because a lot of times we get that selfish spell and we say, I need it now, I need it now, I need it now. And that's fine. God wants to, the Bible says, let your petitions be made known unto the Lord. That's in Philippians, the 4th chapter. Let your petitions be made known, but you got to understand, after all those petitions that you've ushered up to the Lord, after you've taken the time to pick a place, schedule uninterrupted time, to pick a schedule, and also believe, you know, that God hears your prayers, after all of that, you got to understand, we have to pray like Jesus. And what was it that Jesus prayed after he finished crying? He said he sweated like great drops of blood. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's the hardest part for us, and this is what's going to stunt a lot of our growth. And this is what the enemy wants to, of course, let happen to us, is that our growth is stunted and we lose faith and we stop believing that God is all of these things, the great I am, Jehovah Jireh. But God is saying, you got to pray for direction, because a lot of times in our limited knowledge, the Bible says that his ways are above ours. His ways and his thoughts are high above ours. So in our limited knowledge, we may think that it's going to play out perfectly. We may think that now is the time and the season for our breakthrough. We may believe that now the time is for us to get a promotion. We may be decreeing and declaring, and you don't stop it. You keep decreeing and declaring. Let your faith always be there. But nevertheless, you got to say, not my will, but your will be done. And you got to pray for direction. And you got to be open for direction, because the part two of prayer is not you talking, but it's God talking to us.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
A lot of times,
amen. My God, today,
I think it's what I have to say. Lord, I'm coming to you because I'm mad. I'm coming to you because I'm just so hurt. I'm coming to you right now because I'm just so distressed. And that's fine. So even if you feel like you got to go first, you humble yourself before you say amen, and you say, Lord, what is it that you want to share with me? I've given you a mouthful, but what do you want to talk to me about? And God may soften your heart. He may give you peace. He may disturb some things in your thought process, and it's going to get you to start thinking about some other stuff, which is going to give him the chance to show you a revelation on some things in your life. However the Lord leads you, you'll know it's him. But that's the part two of praying. It's him talking to us. Prayer is a communion. It's not a one-way traffic flow. It's both ways. You got to pray for direction, and then that's his invitation to show you which direction to go. It's his invitation to break down what he wants you to do in your life. What is your next step? He may tell you in your prayer time, get up and go down the street and give your neighbor $50. But if you always say, after you finish telling him what all in the world you want done, and you say, all right, in the name of Jesus, amen. You didn't give God a chance to you. Now you all missed your chance to even receive a blessing, because he wanted you to be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
So with that being said, at the end of your crying out, you'll notice at the end of your prayer, you'll say, okay, God, your will be done. I've given you what I want, but your will be done. What do you have to share? What instruction? What chastisement? What revelation? What encouragement? What challenge? What do you want me to do, God? And he may tell you, he wants you to pray for another 30 minutes. Oh, yeah, I've been there. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak and say, I'm so in love with what you're doing. I want to hear 30 minutes more. And then you be obedient. You never know how that could save your life. People of God, I could tell you so many different encounters I've had with the Lord, but you got to pray this. You got to want it. I can't do it for you. We're praying for you because you need somebody to connect with you in the spirit, and you need someone that has more power than you to decree and declare, because the heavens respond when we speak. We've earned that. I just shared with you what we would do. We sow. We gave our lives. I've given up everything. Not even that, but the Bible says in Matthew, the 19th chapter, it talks about if a man leaves his wife, his children, his mom, his dad, his sisters, his brother, even his land, he will reward them with everlasting life and receive 100-fold. We've done that. We've given up everything that we could possibly do. We've given up careers. My husband is a very educated man. He's about to enter into a career that is going to allow him to make $80,000. And I was thanking God, because we have suffered. He hard 16-hour long days But he would go home, he would eat, and then he would shower, and then he'd get on the computer, and he'd start typing out a paper. He earned his way by working and going to school for years, 3 years. So finally, he graduated with his degree in criminal justice. We were already going to be accepted. He got the letter even to today. He was accepted to be on the Chicago Police Department. And because of past experiences, they were going to offer him other incentives. And it would have been up to $80,000. But let me tell you something. As soon as we were about to accept, the Lord troubled the water. I said, no!
Amen.
Amen.
And he said, this is not the path. He said, you can do what you want. He said, that's not the path I have chosen for you. And I said, oh, God. Say it isn't so. Say it isn't so. And he said, yeah, you got a pastor. I'm calling you into full-time ministry. And I said, oh, out of all the things, why? Why pastorialship? Because I know about pastorialship. I grew up in church my whole life, and my father's a pastor. So I was a PK. And one thing about a PK family, you know everything, whether you want to or not. You just do, because people's lives and business are all intertwined in yours. They all be your house late at night. They ring your doorbell, you and everybody's drama. You know everything. But you were taught at a young age to shut your mouth and look the other way. This is ministry. And don't you share nobody's business with nobody else. What happens in the household, you are a pastor's kid, deal with it. And that's the mentality we grew up with. So I learned the good, the bad, the ugly. I learned how people stab you in the back. I learned how people steal from you. I learned how they honor you. I learned how they love you. Then I learned how they hate you. I learned how they're trying to leave the church and take half of the people with you. I learned it all. And I said, in my wildest dreams, I would never, ever want to be a pastor. I don't even want anybody working in ministry. That's just how anti I was. I told the Lord, I love you, and I want a man that loves you, but I don't want him being a minister, an elder, a prophet, a pastor. I don't want him even playing the piano for a church. I just want a regular lay member that pays his tithes, and we have secular career, and we go traveling. That's what I told the Lord I wanted. And I was dead serious, and the Lord knew that. He knew that, and he knew it wasn't coming from a place of hatred, but he knew that I had been exposed to it and that I didn't want any dealings with it. And sure enough, that's the very reason why he called me to be a pastor. He said, because you're in it for the right way. You're in it to really see people's lives change. You're in it not to get rich. You're in it not to get fame. You're in it just because you can love my people. And because you've been exposed, so he said, think you're not strange. I called you to be born into that family. You could have been born somewhere in India. He said, but I called you to be born so that your father will be a pastor, so that you can learn, so that you can be experienced. Because when I call you into pastorship, you were going to hit the ground running. You didn't have time to make newbie mistakes. You needed to learn people, and you needed to also be in a family that had and possessed wisdom. I'm very wise because I've sown into it. Yes. Solomon, he gave up an offering unto the Lord of 1,000 livestock. 1,000 livestock. And the Lord, and he wasn't even asking for anything. He was just doing it just to be honorable. So do you know what the Lord did? He actually saw what Solomon did, and he came to him. And then he asked Solomon, what do you want? Read it in your Bible. And then he asked for just a wise and understanding heart. That's what Solomon wanted. And because he did that, God gave him more than what he wanted. Read it in your Bible. He wanted a wise
right.
man.
Amen.
So young to lead and rule a kingdom. So God said, I'll do you one better. Because you didn't ask for riches and fame and you asked for a wise and understanding heart, I'll give you that. So I'll give you one, a wise heart. I'll give you two, an understanding heart. He said, but I'm also going to give you riches and honor. He said, I'm also
going
to give you vision of life. He said, if you keep my statutes, same as your father David did, all of these things are given unto you. I said, whoa. From $1,000 or 1,000 livestock offering, he got back all of that. And the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask, he'll give freely. But I said, Lord, I want a supernatural wisdom impartation.
Man.
I said, I'm going to do the same like Solomon. I don't have livestock to burn them to you, but I can give you $1,000. And people of God, I did that. I gave God an offering of $1,000. And I've done that multiple times at different seasons in my life because as God promoted me and as God elevated me, I saw the need for greater wisdom. And with each shift, I would give God another offering of $1,000 and then he would impart into me. But even beyond what I have paid for as an offering, and God has blessed me with wisdom beyond my years, people are amazed when they hear my age because they hear me speak, they watch me as I walk, they watch my gesture, my attitude, all of that. And they're like, wow, you are far beyond your years. But also because of the family I was born into, they're very wise, and they taught us even at a young age. So I have the imparted wisdom from God, but I also have the inherited wisdom from my parents. And that is what prepared me to lead you all. God was preparing me even at a young age to be a leader for leaders. God was preparing me even in all of this, how God was taking me and exposing me from how I was a pastor's child. So now when I'm a pastor now, I'm not shaken by some of your behavior, by people who have come to me now. Dishonorable and honorable. I'm not moved. I'm still chugging along. I'm still chugging along on my ministry trail track. But we would not have been strong and this long if we didn't have a prayer life. A lot of us, we get so microwave-ish. We want an instant blessing. We want to instantly be famous. We want to instantly be happy. We want to instantly obtain wealth. We want to instantly, we just want instantly everything. But God, thing that is not instant, and it is a relationship with me. It takes time.
Amen.
There's no way to get around it. It's hard work, but it's rewarding. Because why? Everything I've been telling you, you can read it for yourself. Everything I've told you is in the Word of God, and so it's the same thing.
Amen. Yes, it has.
Why? Because the Bible says that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him.
My God. Yes, Lord.
You got to know your word.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today. And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world. That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.